Please tell me whether the original personalities of Godhead, who incarnated themselves at the request of Brahma, who is born out of the lotus flower from the Lord, and who have increased the prosperity of the world by elevating everyone, are doing well in the house of Shurasena. Purport, Lord Krishna and Balaram are not two different personalities of Godhead. God is one without a second, but he expands himself in many forms without their being separate from one another. They are all plenary expansions. The immediate expansion of Lord Krishna is Baladev. And Brahma, born from the lotus flower from Garbhodakshai Vishnu, is an expansion of Baladev. This indicates that Krishna and Baladev are not subjected to the regulations of the universe. On the contrary, the whole universe is under their subjugation. They appeared at the request of Brahma to liberate the burden of the world, and they relieved the world by many superhuman activities, so that everyone became happy and prosperous. Without the grace of the Lord, no one can become happy and prosperous, because the happiness of the family of the Lord's devotees depends on the happiness of the Lord. Vidur first of all inquired about the well-being of the Lord. Here the names of Krishna and Balaram are not mentioned in the Sanskrit verse. There's no name. Krishna has many names, but none of his names are given here. Similarly, Baladev, none of the names, unless you want to take Padmanu Vrityeha Kilavatirano as a name. It means those who have incarnated upon being requested by he who is born from the lotus. It could possibly be used as a name. Sometimes in these Sahasranamas, or a list of names, you find very long names like this. There's no direct indication of Krishna and Balaram, but it's clear who is being indicated. That who else is called by he? First of all, who's born from a lotus? That's only Brahma. And then who does he call? Of course, there's also Lakshmi is said to be born from a lotus, but then she doesn't call anyone to this world to incarnate. Again, just Swanabhya, so that distinguishes Brahma, who's born from the lotus, particularly the one which comes out of the navel of the Lord. Nabhi is navel. So this indicates Brahma, and he calls who to this world? He calls Krishna. Actually, he calls Krishna, and Balaram automatically comes. He calls the Lord, please come. So sometimes the Lord comes in various different forms to satisfy demigods, headed by Brahma, who come whenever they have too much problem, to request him to come. Sometimes he comes like that in the form of Varaha or Vamana, requested by Lord Brahma. And sometimes he comes in the original form, Krishna. The original form is described here, Purano, Purusho. And again, this refers to, this grammatical case refers to the two of them. Vivacha. So, two. Who is that? Krishna and Balaram. The original personalities of Godhead. Purana, of course, means old. It's being understood in the sense of original. The Lord is very old. That is one thing that we can deduce about God. He's very old. But then everyone is very old. Every living being, if you say Purana Purush, means the old person, then everyone ultimately is very old. Every living being is eternal. But in this material world, living beings appear as if new. Every living being has a different form, which is new forms again and again, I think. But Krishna and Balaram, their form, that is eternal. Just like I get born, you get born, we get different bodies one after the other. But Krishna and Balaram appear always looking the same. They don't have different forms. Ajopi sanavigatna bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim swamadishtaya sambhavami atmanayana. Krishna, although he is unborn and his Agnihatma, his transcendental form never deteriorates. It's not that his Krishna describes Vasansi Jinani Atavihaya Navani Gipnati Naropurani Tatashari Rani Vihaya Jinani and Yani Sangyati Navani Devi. When the old cloth is worn out, you throw it away and get new cloth. So in the same way, the cloth is covering for the body is covering for the soul. So when the body is worn out, you get a new body, but Krishna's body is not like that. It's not that his body is covering his soul. He is his body. Avyayatma, his body doesn't deteriorate. He doesn't become old. Therefore, he appears again and again in the same original transcendental form. This is the mystery of Krishna. So Krishna is the original person, Krishna and Balaram. Yeah, they're both being described as the original personalities of Godhead. Generally we say Krishna. And then people ask us recently, that means just over 2 weeks ago in Surat, it's a common question. Someone asked me, well, why do you always say Krishna and not Ram? Because Ram is also very popular. We're always talking, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to surrender to Krishna. But what about Ram? So I asked him, are you a Ram Bhakta? He said, yes. Then, how many times do you chant the name of Ram every day? He said, well, no, I don't have any fixed amount. He said, well, we're chanting, then we worked it out. We're chanting Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram. So we're chanting the names of Ram more than you. But when we say Krishna, then it's understood. What is understood? Ramadi Muratishu Kalani Amina Tishtan Nana Avatara Makarod Pumaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samavatara Makumanya Govinda Vati Purushantanamaja. When we say Krishna, that means within Krishna is included Ramadi Murti. All the different forms of the Lord, beginning with Ram. Actually, Ram here means Balaram. But then again, Balaram is none different anyway from Dasharatha Sutta, Ramachandra, Bhagavan, Sitapati. So, Krishna, Balaram, Ram, the Shringha, Varaha, Kurma, so many forms. They're not different, but Krishna is the original form. That Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, Vipajareva Hidashantarama Vipeta Vipayate. Ritahetu Samana Dharma, Yas Tajagava Hija Vishnu Tiyavita, Govinda Mani Purushottama. It's very clearly explained in the Brahma Samhita. So Prabhupada explains here, that he makes the same point in the purport, that Krishna and Balaram are not two different personalities of Godhead. What's that point of distinction? So when we say Krishna, then that means that we're referring to all the different forms of the Lord. So when we say we should surrender to Krishna, if you have a particular personal predilection towards the form of Lord Rama, that's very nice. That's very good. Or whichever form. But we can say Krishna also. There's no harm to say Krishna. Because Krishna is the original personality. Sometimes the devotees of Lord Ram, they misunderstand and they have an envious attitude towards Krishna. They're supposed to be devotees of Ram. I don't know if this is common in South India, but in North India it's quite common that people say, well, Ram is more moral than Krishna. Do they say that here too? They're all nonsense everywhere. Huh? Krishna is very immoral, so our Ram is better. Somehow they understand they're both Vishnu, but they think that our form is better. Maybe they have to think like that too, otherwise how can they accept Rama as supreme? But it's a misunderstanding. There's nothing, Amogha Lila, Krishna's pastimes. There's nothing wrong in them. Of course, those who are on the platform of morality, which Ram came to teach, one of the things he came to teach, then for them, Krishna is a dilemma. If he's God, then why is he doing like that? Even Parikshit Maharaj asked that. Why is he doing? He came to teach the principles of religion And then it appears that he's performing irreligious activities. Actually, this 10th canto of Bhagavatam, that's meant particularly for those who have come to the Paramahamsa platform. Srimad Bhagavatam is called Paramahamsa Sanghita. The treatise that is meant especially for Paramahamsas, those who are free from all envy. So, especially this 10th canto, it's not meant for envious persons who will criticize Krishna. So anyway, Shukadeva Goswami explained the same point. That he already explained, actually. Yes, Krishna is not doing anything wrong. Rather, the very moral person, of course, Shukadeva didn't exactly explain like this, but later acharyas have expanded his explanation, that the very moral man, who is very moral, looking after his wife, and only enjoying with his one wife, just like Ram, Ekapatni Vrata, vow, even though he's the master of unlimited goddesses of fortune, he has the vow only to take one wife. So a man who's very moral like that, he may think, I'm very moral, and why is Krishna immoral, taking so many women and other people's wives and so many things? But actually, one who thinks like that, he is immoral, and Krishna is moral, because if one thinks, this is my wife for me to enjoy, then he's immoral. Because every living being is meant only for Krishna to enjoy. So if we're thinking that I am the enjoyer of anything, that's immoral. Even if the enjoyer of your wife. That's why one young man, Shambhu Babu, he was going to get married, came from Calcutta, so he thought to visit before he would get married. He thought to take blessings from Siddhanta Saraswati, who was living in Mayapur at the time. He said, do you please give me your blessings for family life? And Siddhanta Saraswati said, no. Rather, I recommend you don't get married at all. Give it up. Give up the idea of getting married. It's simply an obstacle in your devotional life. So, he didn't expect that. So then he thought, okay, I'll go and see Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He's living on the other side of the river, in Navadvip. On the other side, a little over. So he went to see Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and asked for his blessings for his upcoming family life. He said, yes, yes, I'll bless you. I'll bless you that you can live an ideal Vaishnava family life. So I thought, oh, this is very nice. Ideal Vaishnava family life means that you shouldn't think you're the enjoyer of your wife. You should think that she is a Vaishnavi. So you should serve her. Instead of her serving you, you should bring her water, bring her prasad and all these things and take her feathers. Then you can be an ideal husband. So again, he left disappointed. In other words, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, I mean, this is completely against the whole social culture, that the man will serve the wife. Of course, nowadays, I don't know. but of course, he serves her, but in a different way. The role of serving, that means the wife is to serve the husband. But he turned it around, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. You think your wife's a devotee, but how can you accept service? You have to serve her. So then he went back quite disappointed to Calcutta, and I'm sure he got married anyway. Without the blessings that he'd expected. So how did we get here? We're talking about Krishna and Balaram. The original personalities of God.
Immoral,
yes, okay. So what is morality? Morality means to understand that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And therefore, Lord Rama, when he exhibits his apparently worldly moral pastimes, Well, he's also, that's his Nitya Lila, that's his eternal pastime. And the same, but we should understand that although the Supreme Lord is unlimitedly opulent, when he's showing his pastimes in other forms than Krishna, he doesn't display all his opulence, or is somewhat constricted. Somewhat limited. The Supreme Lord is unlimited, but in other forms he doesn't show the full extent of his unlimitedness. Krishna enjoys with any number of women. That's one of Krishna's qualities mentioned in the Nectar Devotion. Very pleasing to all women. That's also there for Lord Ram. It's not that he's not pleasing. In fact, he's pleasing to everyone. Even the men are attracted to his form. Now you may think, well, that's very strange. It sounds a little unnatural. But actually it's natural. It sounds like homosexuality. But that's natural, actually, because every living being is attracted to Krishna. So that attraction, if a male form is attracted to the form of the Lord, that is not homosexuality. That is divine attraction beyond the platform of mundane, gross sex. We see that when Lord Ram was in the forest of Dandakaranya, there were many sages living there. And they became attracted to Lord Ram on the transcendental platform of conjugal attraction. Now, this is beyond the comprehension of people who are in the mundane, on the platform of mundane attraction. But they became attracted by that. But Lord Ram said, well, in this avatar, I cannot reciprocate with you. Wait till Krishna comes. Wait till I come as Krishna. Then I can reciprocate. Then these sages, they became gopis in Vrindavan, and they became lovers of Krishna. So Krishna could reciprocate. Rama couldn't reciprocate like that. There are different groups of gopis. From Ram Leela also came so many Yajna Patni. Lord Ram, he ruled over the world for how many years? 10,000 years after the departure of Sita. So he was performing sacrifices, one of the duties of a king. And you have to perform sacrifice with your wife. His wife had already left the earth. I mean, she left, but didn't mean she was dead, so to speak. So he made them, he had the gold forms of Sita made. They were Sita. They were in different forms. So they were different. So they also said, we actually want to reciprocate with you. So how can we do it? We're just Murtis. He said, okay, you come later. All the women who wanted to enjoy with Ram, with the exception of Shurpanaka, then they were put, just wait a little bit, you come later. So this is transcendental attraction to the Lord, but he could reciprocate in the form of Krishna. Even Krishna, that is described as Kubja. Actually in Bhagavatam the word is given Trivakra. Means bent in three places. Krishna is also known as Tribhanga Sundara. He's very beautifully bent in three places. But she was bent in three places and ugly. Not beautiful. Bent over. Not triple hunchback, something like that. Very, very ugly, actually. But she felt some what Prabhupada calls conjugal attraction. Actually, it's kind of euphemistic, sexual attraction towards Krishna, because she considered him the most, not considered, but actually that's the fact, that he's the most beautiful young boy. So So she felt attraction. Now it said the gopis, they also felt attraction towards Krishna in a sexual manner, but that was ananda chinmaya rasa. That is on the purely spiritual platform. But this Kubja, her attraction was towards Krishna, but she was feeling that in the manner of ordinary lusty desires. She appreciated Krishna's beauty, but she took him as the object of her, or the fulfiller of her desires to enjoy. A bodily desire. So Krishna also purified her of those desires. But we see she became attracted to Krishna like that. Now, again, I was giving the example of Shurpanaka, Shurpanaka. When she became attracted to Lord Ram, then she ended up with a bloody nose. Literally. I mean, that's a saying in English, you end up with a bloody nose. I mean, someone punches you in the nose, but she got a bloody nose. Another one was cut off, bloody no nose. Sounds like a very horrible thing. But, of course, that was also because of her offenses. That she was very envious of Sita. She wanted to kill Sita. But Krishna reciprocated with any number of living beings. We see that just like when Akrura took Krishna to Mathura, the gopis, they knew, oh, Krishna must be enjoying with those beautiful society girls, high class women in Mathura. Then what does he need us for anymore? We're just gopis, we're just village cowherd women. Now he's in that very sophisticated society. Then why should he be interested in us? They gave so many examples. It's an ordinary thing. When a lover, he enjoys his prostitute, and when he sends her, he goes away. The birds, when they're eating fruit from the tree, when the season is over, they leave the tree. When a man is invited to eat in a home, when he's eaten his food, he goes away. So they gave so many examples. He said, just like that, Krishna enjoyed us, he's gone away. And they have these very high-class women in Mathura. He must be captivated by them. So they were thinking like that, but they wanted Krishna to come back, but they weren't intrinsically envious in the sense of that they didn't. They said, no, the girls of Mathura, they must be very fortunate. They weren't going to deny the girls of Mathura. They are very fortunate. We are unfortunate. Now they have the opportunity to enjoy. So Krishna, in this original form, he reciprocates with many, many, many living beings. Of course, Lord Ram also. All the inhabitants of Ayodhya, they all went back to the eternal Ayodhya with him. But particularly Krishna reciprocates in many wonderful ways, especially on the platform of conjugal love. So this is Krishna, and he appears with Balarama, Kritavan Kalakarmani, Saharame Nakeshava. Atimadhyena Bhagavan. Atimadhyena Bhagavan was the last one. Gura Kavadamana Shaka. Same Krishna is described in the beginning of Bhagavatam. First mention of Lord Balaram. That they, Krishna and Balaram, they appeared together and they performed many wonderful activities. They are the supra-mundane personalities of Godhead. But they were covered They were covered, kapata manush. Has that word kapat in Tamil? It's a Sanskrit word. Right now, you know what kapat means? Wicked, no, in Sanskrit it means something. Kapat, kapati. It means cheating, actually. Cheating. Cheating. So this word is kapata man, that means a cheating man. Gura means kapata. But it's not easy. Kapata manush here, it's used in a different way. Means that not exactly cheating, but they appear to be like ordinary people. But actually they're not. They are ati martyana. Then an ordinary person is martya. He's subject to death. But they are atimartya, they are beyond death, but they appeared like ordinary people. Both Krishna and Balaram, how they passed away, that is unusual, to say the least. How did Balaram pass away? Do you remember? Then into the ocean. And Krishna, it's said generally that Krishna, he was shot dead by a hunter. Highly unlikely, after he used to fight just like this. He came out of the city of Mathura and killed all the forces of Jarasandha just by himself. So, Prabhupada writes in the Nectar Devotion, this is unparalleled in the history of military activity, that one person can defeat a whole army just by himself. And then some primitive hunter will shoot him dead. Now that's not actually how he passed away. If you see Bhagavatam, that's described there, then the hunter, Jara, who was actually Bhrigu Muni in a previous life, he is actually non-different from Bhrigu Muni, because Bhrigu Muni is also still going on. So he came and he apologized. I'm sorry, I didn't really mean to do that. I said, Krishna, no, it's okay. Anyway, it was time for me to go. And I'm going anyway, so this is all right, just to fool the atheists. And then Krishna, in his self-same form, described in Bhagavatam, ascended, closing his eyes. He went up. He closed his eyes, the acharyas explained, because as he was going up, all the different demigods might be calling him. Why don't you stop for a little time here? Come to our planet. And he didn't want to get involved in all these social things. And so he just closed his eyes and pretended not to see anyone and just went down. So if people say Krishna died by being shot in the foot, you can tell that's not true. He comes and he goes according to his own sweet will. He kills everyone. He is not killed by anyone. So that's the actual description. How by he ascended to the spiritual world. So Krishna and Balaram, they come and they perform many wonderful activities. Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna, but even though he's non-different from Krishna, immediately there's some apparent differences. That means that Balaram is the servant of Krishna. He feels, I'm the servant of Krishna. Although sometimes, as an elder brother, he serves him by chastising him. Sometimes he does that also. Just like when Krishna humiliated Rukmini after kidnapping Rukmini. And Rukmini, the brother of Rukmini, came and he wanted to kill Krishna. So Krishna just nonchalantly captured him, tied him up, and gave him a little, with his sword, he gave him a little shaving job. Cut a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. So he looked terrible. So Balaram came and said, "It's not right. You are acting wrongly. See, he's your brother-in-law. Why are you doing this?" Of course, not too much time later, Balaram himself smashed him up, smashed Rudy on the head with his club and finished him off altogether. But at that time he was chastising Krishna. Why are you doing this? This is wrong. It's not befitting a member of our family. But generally you see Balaram is in the mode of serving Krishna. And even though, I mean, he's also in the mode of serving Krishna when he's chastising him, because it's all part of the pastimes. So Balaram also, see, Krishna was the supreme enjoyer in the Rasa Leela. But Balaram, he doesn't go there at that time. He has his own Rasa Leela later. But that's explained by the commentators that who Balaram was dancing with. Those girls were too young at the time. Balaram came back later and danced with them. But the commentator, I think it's Jiva Goswami, explains that. It's either Jiva or Vishwanath. Most of them do all these commentaries on these very highly esoteric points. But actually Balaram, he was offering all this pleasure to Krishna. The pleasure of dancing with those gopis. Not thinking that I am the enjoyer. But actually they want to dance with Krishna. So I represent Krishna and offer all this to Krishna. So that was his motive. Not in the mood of the enjoyer. He is the supreme enjoyer. Also, but even all the different forms of Vishnu that expand, Rama, Adi, Murti, they're all in the mode of actually service to Krishna. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsabhritta. Jare Joichi Nachai, Jare Joichi Joichi Nachai, Jare Joichi Kare Nritta. As Krishna's Kaviraj explains, there is one supreme controller, that is Krishna. And all others are servants. And according to the way he makes them dance, that way they dance. Everyone is dancing under his direction. Hare Krishna. So even the Vishnu forms, they're also servants of Krishna. Just like you see, Mahavishnu called Krishna. I wanted to see you. Please, therefore, took away all these sons of the Brahmana. So here we're describing Krishna and Balaram. Krishna is the original form. Hare Krishna. I'll finish that with the power going off. I'll also go off. Any questions?
There is a description that actually Krishna also left after ascending. He left some body made from.
Right, the so called material body. The atheists, you want to think I'm material? Okay, here you are. It's for your pleasure. You can go to hell thinking of this.
Something wrong if you are not attracted by others forms, because sometimes there is no any feeling for a Vishnu form.
Bhishma?
Vishnu.
Well, that depends what level of consciousness we're on. The gopis, they also weren't much attracted to Narayana. When Krishna showed the four-handed form, they said, "Oh, Narayana, Omnamo Narayana. Where's Krishna? Do you know? Did you see him?" So if you're on that platform, very good. If you're not, you better be careful.
And how is Srila Prabhupada described that the devotee is not attracted even by other forms, by other people?
Yeah, that means if you're on the very elevated platform. I mean, that's our misfortune. Is it that we're so much attracted to the form of Krishna that when we see the form of Narayana, we think, oh, What's this? Can we really say that? It's not that you see, when we see the form Narayana, we should have develop some envious mentality. Not like that at all. That should not be misunderstood. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would also celebrate this Ram Vijaya Dashami. He would play the part of Hanuman attacking Lanka. He would also celebrate Janmashtami, in which at least the general understanding is Vasudeva form has appeared in Mathura. He would do all the dramas and everything. That's another thing, if one has the vision, one can see this is Krishna in every form. But anyway, it's not that we see that we have a rejection of the Vishnu form. Everything in, you'll find in some place in Prabhupada's books, he writes, one can worship any form, such as Sitaram, Lakshminarayana. And else in the Bhagavad Gita, in that Bhagavad says one should not be even attracted to other forms. So you see different instructions there for different people. That's actually a very, very confidential instruction. But the idea is that anyway, even from the beginning of our bhakti life, we are directed, especially in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, our direction is towards Radha Krishna. So that's generally you see we don't worship Radha Krishna and Sita Ram and Lakshmi Varaha and Lakshmi Nishimu. We'll concentrate on one form, a particular form.
How to stop this envy. We are envious of Lord and we are envious of the devotees. So he answered that one should at least we should not be envious of Lord. Even if he's we cannot control our envy of the devotees, at least we should not be envious of Lord.
The envy of devotees is envy of the Lord. Because the devotees are the paraphernalia of the Lord. They're not in one sense not different. That becomes the neophyte mentality. Acharya me mahaye pujasya shatayam dhate atam bhaktesu chanyesu sabhakta prakritasvitaha. One who worships Hari with great faith but has no regard for his devotees or for other living beings, that's the neophyte stage. They're called materialistic devotees.
They were asking in a sense how to rid of that
envy. How to get rid of the envy, and he's saying it's alright. Well, look what happened to him. He became envious of Krishna also, he became very envious of Prabhupada. So it seems it's not very good advice. If you have envy, then you serve them. But if you feel envious towards any particular, you feel any bad feeling towards a devotee, serve them. That's right. Try to appreciate the good qualities. At the same time, we shouldn't adopt the sahajiya mentality of thinking that, well, when someone says devotees, so everything they do is okay. That's all. They used to accuse Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Why are you making Vaishnava para? He's pointing out these people, their philosophy is wrong, their behavior is wrong. Oh, that's apara. We should see it. I've heard it said, as Prabhupada said, also not confirmed, but anyway, it's quite a good example. That when you have two eyes, you should see with one good eye, one bad eye. You see the good things? That's the pure Vaishnava platform. But one should see one should be realistic and discriminate. It's a Madhyamadhikari platform. We can't artificially pretend that we're on the topmost platform. And even if we are on the topmost platform, if we fail to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, then I think then it'll just everything will descend to the lower than the upper, just to the materialistic. If we say that someone's chanting Hare Krishna, so it doesn't matter if whatever else they do, then it just becomes a class. It becomes a sinful life in the name of bhakti. That's what happens. That's why I'm very concerned about our movement at the present time, because everything is tolerant. It's very dangerous. See, there used to be a lot, especially at the top levels of our society, there used to be a lot of infighting and criticizing and competition. So devotees realized, well, that's wrong, that's not good. So then they thought, okay, now we'll just praise all the devotees. Somewhere in between. The tendency should be to praise, but not without discrimination. We have to be careful because it may turn into fault finding also. But then someone has to find faults. You generally say we shouldn't be fault finding, but on the other hand, just like I'll give an example, again from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that one devotee was writing with a list of complaints against some other devotees. He wrote back a letter saying that, I'm so unfortunate, it's my duty as a guru to find the faults in others. I don't know why you should take upon yourself such an unpleasant task. Where to find the balance? It's easy for our own emotional lives to just, you know, close your eyes and say, everything's nice, everything's wonderful, everyone's great. And then on the other hand, we also have a duty to Srila Prabhupada and to everyone else in newcomers who come, if we tell them everything's great, everything's wonderful, and, you know, this, whatever you do, it's all wonderful. That's actually Maya Bhakti. Everything's wonderful, everything's good. You just chant Hare Krishna and do whatever you like. And that's not what. Why have a guru? Why have shastras? So we have a duty. You see, the Dante who wrote this. What's that called? Divine. He wrote, you know, this Italian poet. He wrote about the heaven, hell, and divine comedy. He wrote that the hottest regions of hell are reserved for persons who remain neutral in times of moral crisis. Got that? Maybe he had some kind of vision. I don't know. He certainly had a. He either had a good vision, he either had some vision or a good imagination. His descriptions of hell are more famous. Same Milton, he wrote the Prabhupada quoted Milton, I think he must have studied it in schools. John Milton, the English poet, I used to go past his birthplace and home every day on the way to school. That's an interesting fact. That really enhanced your Krishna consciousness, didn't it? Anyway, Prabhupada used to quote him, Paradise Lost. It's a famous poem. So the main interesting thing in that is all the descriptions of hell. These things are very powerful for helping to regulate people's moral lives in the medieval times. I used to read this. I don't want to go there. So they were good. They led good lives because they're afraid of being thrown into the burning hell. You ask a question. Yes, that's right. We should serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of a servant. That's standard Gaudiya Vaishnava theology. By serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he bestows upon us the eligibility to understand the past of his brother. And then that whole song, Goranga Valite Hale Pula, our copy in the Taja, when by chanting the names of Goranga, then we feel exorcism, Nitai chant. By his mercy you overcome material desires. Then by the mercy of the six first Ramis of Vrindavan, then you can see Vrindavan. And stand as Gauri Vaishnava. By serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can appreciate, by his mercy, one can appreciate particularly that the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Because that you won't get any other way, you won't get through Nimbakacharya, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, you get through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And our Pitam Chiring Chirat, only Avatim. Samadhi, Nitanjmala, Swabhati, who came to give that which had not been offered before. The highest, resplendent level of devotional service to himself, who is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Mahayana. He is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, non different from Radha Krishna. Yata Yata Gaus, Kamodananda Sajjata. Yata Yata Gaura Padara Vinda. Indeta Bhaktimrita Punya Rashita Tat Sarthita Pritya Kasmata Adha Adam Bhuja Sudhina Rashi. It says that as wherever there is whenever there is a rising in the heart of devotion to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then in the same way, then the attraction to Radha Rani will come on the basis of this. That will manifest within the heart, the nectar of attraction to Radha Rani. So that's standard Gauriya Vaishnava strategy. Through God to Radha Krishna. No.